to assemble with others, utilization of spiritual gifts. We pray, Father, that this morning will be the morning that will be glorifying to you in the glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray, Father. Amen. Okay, let's note a few things. And first of all, in regard to prayer, we're very thankful in regard to prayer. Sister's mom, Thelma, is home from the hospital and just doing much, much better. Seems as though she had had a stroke and they weren't aware of it. And now they're just looking to see what they can do in that regard. So we give thanks in regard to that. The girl in Tulsa is still on the critical list and figuring out the drugs and what they're going to do to be able to help her and to get through the gunshot in the nervous system of the vertebrae. So we continue to be in prayer in that respect. Got an interesting email I'd like to read to you in regard to Amsterdam and things that we're still doing in respect of Amsterdam and getting some things printed up and get more publications printed and just get things done that we want to do and see what God is going to do as far as after Amsterdam, what are we going to do as an assembly. This one comes from Nicholas Mulea, M-U-L-E-A. He says, Dear Herman, reference, Pastor's Conference. Greetings in Jesus' name from Nairobi, Kenya. Now, if you know where Kenya is in Africa, it's on the east side of Africa, and Nairobi is about right in the middle of Kenya. I was hoping I had my little book of overhead for the world, but I guess I took it home, and I need to just leave that here. But he says, Greetings in Jesus' name from Nairobi, Kenya. I trust you had a safe flight back to the United States from Amsterdam. Likewise, I had a safe flight back home, and as we agreed, I am writing to formalize my invitation for you to come to for a pastor's conference, and if you can also preach in an evangelistic crusade, depending on... Now, if I do an evangelistic crusade, I will not make y'all a copy. I will not... When I was in the Bahamas and spoke at a black church, and they had a program, and it was 30 minutes of music and singing before they even got to the music and singing that was on the program. And by the time it came for me, I was just so fired up, I don't even know if I even looked at my notes, and carried my Bible around and got down there, and I mean, I had them amen and standing up and everything else. So I won't send y'all a video of me and if I do that kind of thing. But he says, to formalize my invitation for you to come for a pastor's conference, and if you can also preach in an evangelistic crusade, depending on your requirements and the time you are available, the investment you want to make in this part of the world, which is in your diocese, as unto the Lord. Kindly note that I am able to organize a planning team, my co-ministers, so that your coming here is to be a blessing to many churches and not just a single church. You have some wonderful gospel literature, but I could not carry all of them back to my country because of the weight limitation on the plane. I don't know what you can do to help us with the gospel literature. I can organize for local printing to be done in Nairobi, which I am sure will be much cheaper way of having these materials. Kindly let us hear from you with concrete information and way forward. In other words, moving forward. Looking forward to hearing yours faithfully, Reverend Nicholas Mulea, Bishop, Missions Outreach Center, Nairobi, Kenya. And I don't know. We started Spring Valley Bible Church with about this many, I guess, and haven't really grown. We've gained some, lost some. And so I'll use the word necessity of having business meetings and all of this has not really been here. We don't have that many things to be taken care of when you've got, you know, a lot of children's things, missions things, and just a lot of things that have to be taken care of, then you do have to have various meetings. But we have not had to do that, but it looks like we're going to have a congregational meeting in which we will look at our finances and we will look and see these type of things, what we want to do. And I think it needs to be done quickly because Nicholas is talking about right away. I do know that the man that I spoke with from Ghana is going to get a hold, be in touch with me after the first week of September. He was going to be out of pocket till then, but he said as soon as he got back, he would start working on a pastor's conference in Ghana. Now, both of those are in Africa. And just so you can be thinking about it if we when we do have our meeting, congregational meeting, of what we want to do, and it'll be strictly a missions meeting of what we want to do or not do. Do we want to look at if do we want to do it at all? Do we want do you want me to go over there and reach out? It's in our diocese, so I mean, you know, can't be that far away, and teach there at both the pastors' conference and evangelistic. As far as my perspective, if you're wondering, I'll do whatever I sense that God leads. And pastors' conference, which is very technical, and you meet with pastors and talk to an evangelistic type of thing he's talking about, which will be to both unbeliever and believers, which is an entirely different type of delivery than a pastor's conference would be. So I think both would be challenging to me personally, and would be extremely rewarding for this assembly to get the message as you and I understand it out. Secondly, if that is in your soul to do that as an assembly, you know, do we want to just hit Ghana and Nairobi, Kenya in, at the same time, spend, you know, whatever, two weeks in Ghana and then 2 weeks in Nairobi? Do we want to do that? Or do we want to spend 2 or 3 weeks in Ghana, come back, wait a month, and then go back and spend 2 or 3 weeks in Nairobi? So those are things you might want to be thinking about, as well as a time factor. And then with that you're thinking about before we have our congregational meeting, what do we want to do here? Do we want to have someone speak on Sundays? Probably not during the week, but on Sundays. And there are different types of options that are open to us. Dan Hill's church has some capable people like Brian Elmore. There are a few people that are on the, you know, maybe even here that maybe could do it. So you make me thinking about that, what you want to do in that regard if I do go, because it certainly will involve several Sundays. And even if we just divide it up, it'll involve at least at the minimum 2 to 3 Sundays. So, and then if we go to both countries, Ghana and Kenya at the same time, and that's we're talking about quite a time. We got to think about a lot of things in that respect. We got to think about the momentum, the spiritual, your spiritual momentum, your assembly, and working with each other. We have to be honest and think about it in the area of finance. The tendency of people, if we're not worshiping and leading, why should I give? However, I think if it's done in the leading of the Spirit, that it won't be the great issue that it is for a lot of churches. So those are some of the things that we need to think about and come together in like-mindedness about going. He wasted no time getting us the email. I think that demonstrates a legitimate desire to have these things go. He seems to want to maximize the time there. Pastor's conference, evangelistic things going on in different churches, which is fine with me. And so as we get to it, and we're just going to have a meeting I don't know if you want to have a separate time on Sunday night or just have a meeting after Sunday morning. Does that sound more like what you'd want, or a Sunday night? After church on Sunday? Okay. We're not hundreds, and it's easy to get along. Why don't we just plan a meeting next Sunday after church? Just plan on staying a few minutes next Sunday, and let's have an official congregational meeting. And Jim, that won't be too bad, because the finances are just simply, here's what we've got, here are our monthly expenses and stuff, so we can, yeah, all right, and kind of let you know where we are financially, and kind of get a feel of these types of things. I will try to talk to Nicholas on the phone. The other gentleman in Ghana is out of pocket. So those are some of the things. And as we think about it, then we'll have a meeting next Sunday after our morning service, and just sit down and talk together. Do you have any questions you'd like to be thinking about between now and then on all of this? Any questions that you think you need to know right now? Yeah, yes. Well, you mean before I would leave? I think that would be dependent upon, certainly God, but I think it would be dependent upon us. If we say yes, just for an example, if we say yes to Nicholas, now, I'll tell you right now, I don't want to, even though Nicholas wrote us from Kenya and desires it, the man from Ghana is very, very positive, and he was talking October. He was talking October for doing it. And he said that would give him time to organize the pastors and organize the traveling. And Ian McGrath was there, and Ian, having been in this kind of thing, knows how to talk. And Ian said, well, what about? And he seemed to be well in an organizational manner and thinking that he thought he could be able to do it. So we're looking probably mid-October on. So I think the answer is, one, once we decide it's a go, then we just start contacting when it can be. I think the one of the most important decisions we're going to have to make is, if we want to do it, is do we want to do, since we'd be in Africa anyway, just go from Ghana to Nairobi, or do we want to break that and have two different ones at two different times with a month in between? So, or so, whatever. Just use a month as a barometer. Yes? Yes. Yes. I'll find out some things and do that this week. Just what type of expenses are involved and then that type of thing. So, yes, let everybody that has anything to do with the assembly know that next Sunday after church that we're going to just meet and talk about what the church wants to do to reach out in its own diocese. We won't go out. We're not talking about going outside of our own diocese. We're talking about staying within our own diocese. And you know what a diocese is? That's an old church term. Diocese is, if you're a Roman Catholic, you'd know. It's an old church term, but a diocese would be an area like, could be as small as North Dallas or as large as all of Dallas. A diocese, so it just depends on the geographical area that is needed for one church or a group of churches that are formed, that are functioning in that diocese. And so we would say area, something like that, but it comes more technical than that. Let me phrase that. It becomes more official when you use the word diocese, because the word diocese means you have, let's say you have five churches in a diocese where you have one bishop, pastor. See, his title is bishop. His title is Reverend Nicholas Malia, and at the end he puts bishop. And what he's saying is he is the bishop over pastors. He's not just a bishop of a church. So he is a reverend, that's his church. Then he puts at the end bishop, so he is over other pastors and things, him in the mission outreach centra. So the word diocese is a organizational technical term, that you have various churches, but then there is a diocese head, and then probably, in depending on the denomination, you know, the overall thing, that's head of everything and charge of it.
So
that's what a diocese is. It's something that's in within your geographical barometer or geographical area. So Kenya, he says, is in our geographical area. And I wonder what he figures is outside of our geographical area. And but we need to be thanking them those things, and yes, I will have some financial information by then. Okay, anything else in regard to this? Okay, so be thinking about it. Next Sunday we'll have a meeting and just see what we want to do and not do. Ian McGrath is in Ecuador right now, ministering there, and moves into the jungle areas of the various military camps and things that are in the jungle area. He moved into that, as I understand, Saturday morning. He was leaving the metropolitan area and moving out into the bush area, so we need to be in prayer for Ian. And Ian made a somewhat a major decision, and you can be in prayer after the fact and God honoring the decision, and he made it in prayer. But he met with, I don't know if you know about Ian McGrath, but Ian McGrath has a degree in geology, and that is his love, is geology, dealing with stones and rocks, of course, things like that. And that is his background. What he was offered by the president of the company stayed over one extra day just to meet Ian. In fact, met him at the airport, and they went to eat. And he offered Ian the management of a whole new gold mine that he's discovered and putting into operation in Ecuador. He offered the entire management of the whole deal to Ian. And at this time, Ian just said there's too much going on spiritually. And so he declined the offer. But so let's be in prayer for Ian as he continues in his mission work in that respect. So, and then whatever we're going to do and desire to do in ours. So that's kind of a feel of what we'll be doing next Sunday then. After service, after our time together, then we'll spend some time in a business meeting and just give reports and find out. I think the first thing we'll vote on, so that you'll know somewhat the agenda, the first thing we'll vote on will be, do we want to? And do we want to go over and give the gospel to Christians to these countries? And then having decided that one way or the other, if that vote is no, then it's a closed down deal. The meeting's over. If the vote is yes, then we move into working out details of that. So let's be in prayer about our assembly, what God is doing with and through this assembly, and so that we can make those kind of decisions that have to be made for us. Come to the offertory. The offertory, as we all know, has been greatly abused, but we also all know that it is a wonderful part of the leading of God and in the Christian life. The cornerstone of Christianity is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. And giving is designed, first of all, for the believer, as far as spiritual Christian giving is designed for the believer, but not just the believer, but the believer who understands how to walk in the Spirit, so that it is a response service. It is not me doing it. It is me responding to the leading of the Spirit in giving. That's what the offertory is about, responding to the leading of the Spirit in the giving. Therefore, we understand then that we get no glory out of it. All glory belongs to him. We're not bribing God. We're not impressing God. We're not trying to get on the good side of God, nor are we making up for failures and sins and guilt, which is why a lot of people give. And so it's not for any of these kinds of reasons. And in this assembly, we can certainly say not to impress anyone. But because that is a big draw in large churches. And who can give, who cannot give, and the big givers get to sit on the platform while the preacher preaches, and it's always embarrassing when one of them falls asleep, the preacher is preaching, and which happens. So those kinds of things. But giving is a response to the leading of the Spirit. It is one of the great acts of faith, responding to the spiritual realm, the invisible realm, taking that is in the material, realistic world that we can spend and buy things for ourselves, and taking that and saying, no, I still believe in the invisible, the spiritual, the eternal, and investing in that. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear in the Spirit, prepare by prayer for the worship of the offertory, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved, the political, economic freedom. The political, economic freedom, Heavenly Father, we're in the midst, as we all know, you know, of changing of the headship of the presidency of this country and administration, and so many different things start happening. Many, many, many statements are made by all parties concerned about America, the evils and the horrors of America, the failures of America, the greatness of America, how great this is, how great that is. Everybody trying to claim responsibility for its greatness, pointing the finger for its failures and evils. We know in the recesses of our spiritual being who's responsible. Father, we value the freedom that we have in America, regardless of who is at the head. We value the freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. We value the freedom to live wherever we choose, to worship wherever we choose, to worship however we choose. These are great freedoms in America. To be able to work whatever way you lead us. Many countries don't have that privilege. Then to take that money and just do with it whatever we want. What an amazing freedom that the common person has that kind of power. We can just take our resources and do what we wish. We cross that freedom, Heavenly Father, with the great freedom with which we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is in this realm of freedom, Father, that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. It is in the spiritual realm that our eyes are open and our ears are clear on marriage, where to live, where to worship. So, Father, we pray now that you will receive the offerings as we join and cross these two great spheres of freedom. We pray, Father, that you will use these offerings to bring honor and glory to you, to your Son. We're getting ready to make some decisions in our assembly which demand the leading of the Spirit. Whatever you see fit for us to do, whatever your purpose and design is of this assembly, it is not for us individually, our glory and the glory of this assembly. It is, Heavenly Father, that we might be transformed into the image of Christ personally, and then fulfill our purpose as a corporate body of believers. We are so thankful, even though we are humble in number, we are thankful, Father, that you have seen fit to use us in so many dramatic ways. We are not here to make Spring Valley Bible Church a name word around the world. We are here, Heavenly Father, to make the gospel for the Christian known to as many that will respond to it. Father, we praise you for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you. couple weeks ago, while I was gone, Brian Elmore came and spent some time in worship and song. And so let's turn to 352. I don't know if you know 352. I know Wes does, and I do. But let's look at it. And have we sung this? We have? Okay. And I am thine, O Lord, just to look at some of the things in verse 1, and I'm going to have Wes play through it, and then we'll stand and sing. And we're going to sing all four verses because all four are powerful. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. In other words, it will be by faith. Verse 2, consecrate me now to thy service. As we walk by faith, then he can now use us. By the power of the grace divine, Holy Spirit, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In other words, your will becomes my will, and my will is yours. Then verse 3, oh, the pure delight, this is dealing with prayer, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer, and you don't have to kneel, but that's a nice song, poetic way of wording it. When I kneel in prayer, because we do kneel in prayer mentally, as it were, if not physically. When I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, listen to this, I commune as friend with friend. Beautiful. Verse 4, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow seas. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Let's stand, and Wes will play it through, and then we'll sing all four verses. Thank you, Wes. All right, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and probably one of the most important chapters in John from a fundamental basis, foundational basis. In other words, what I mean by that is, without this chapter and without the truth that is here, all the rest of John hangs on nothing, really. But it is because of what we're looking at in chapter 5 that makes everything else in the Gospel of John so vividly real and important. His coming, the miracles, the messages, the discourses, the crucifixion, the resurrection, everything becomes essential once we cross the understanding of the Gospel of John chapter 5, what John is doing. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer that we can orient to this chapter and see what God is doing in chapter 5. Let's pray. We now enter, Heavenly Father, into the most dangerous thing we do in life. There is nothing that we do that is more dangerous than what we're about to do now. The opening up of this book. The examining of this book. Because, Heavenly Father, we know that this book can be understood in so many different ways. It can be looked at from the flesh, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from law, from our IQ, from our philosophy, theology. Father, it can be examined in so many different ways. But there's only one way to see the truth, and that is to allow your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to what the Spirit would have us to see and hear this morning. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes in the verses that we're going to look at. We will understand the verses, understand them in context, understand them in our lives as we live with husband and wife, family, friends, in this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Who do men say that I am? becomes a great issue. Who do you say that I am? How important is Christ to your daily life? You know, there are people who can answer that and give a great praise of Jesus Christ. Now listen, because this is so important. They can just, by their words about Christ, you would think the person has got it clearly about Jesus Christ. But then you start talking with them, yeah, but to be saved, you've got to da-da-da-da-da. You've got to do the sacraments of the church. You've got to do a ritual. You've got to make him Lord. You've got to do something. And people, I propose before you, it takes all of your declaration, all of your praise, all of your thinking about Jesus Christ, and it doesn't mean anything. You don't truly understand who he is. I want to be safe because I want this, I'd like you to see at least what I'm trying to say here. A wife or husband, don't pick on either one, can just praise their spouse, just give great admiration, declarations of great respect, and then go out and love somebody else. What does that say with all of their great words of admiration and respect and all of that? And all that praise. But you just look at it and you go, what? You make a declaration about Jesus Christ, and oh, he's Lord, and I love him, and he's my Savior, and da-da-da-da. Well, tell me about how to be saved. Well, you got to do this and this and this. Time out. You don't understand who he is. You got to do this and this and this to recover from sin. Time out. You don't know who he is. Oh, yes, and then you start your praising again. No, you don't understand. Scripturally. Once you begin to grasp to him what Jesus Christ is, not just an idle praise and an idle emotionalism and an idle service, and an idle study of his word. Once you begin to grasp to him what he is, then it changes so much about your whole thinking about self and him. Now, Jesus Christ is coming in place of the work of the Father. He has healed a man at Bethesda. It's been a while since we've been here. He's healed a man at Bethesda. Please remember, and don't get into a battle, is the man saved or not? How is he saved? When was that man's salvation has nothing to do with what happened at the pool of Bethesda. And if you can realize that, if you will realize that, there's a peace in. You don't argue with people. Because I can go, as we've seen, you can argue about that man in so many different ways. I can make a hyper-Calvinist out of the story. I can assume faith in the story. But once we realize, that's not even the point. That man's salvation is not the point. Then what is the point? The point is, who is this man Jesus? What is he about? Where does he get his authority? And to do all the things that he does and all the things he's saying. So the Jews start attacking. By what authority do you do this with the law? By what authority do you break the law? By what authority do you heal on Sunday? Sabbath. What authority? Who are you? And so Jesus Christ is now answering these questions. Now in verse 19, we studied four statements by Jesus Christ concerning himself. In verse 19, we started with a man who could do nothing. That's humility. And that's where we all must start. I can do nothing. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. And before you're ever going to be used by God, before you're ever going to move at all, the most important thing you have to decide is, I can do nothing. As an unbeliever or believer, we're talking to Jesus Christ, we want to make a parallel as a believer. I'm very sad but very happy in the sense of clarity that I heard in Amsterdam, you are wrong. We must do for God now that we're saved. Threw the book down and walked out. Because that clearly expresses what many believe and think. And people, we have to come to the point, I can do nothing. Now, when you reach that point, and you're ready then to just go by faith, that's when you're saved, but that's also when you're ready to be used. So in verse 19, we go from a man who could do absolutely nothing to an amazing position to a man who can do all things that God does. So he says, after saying that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Boy, what a transformation. A man who can do nothing to a man that can do everything that God does. That's astounding. But that's also our lives. First you realize, I can do nothing. So I will completely depend upon Him to be able to do all things. Verse 20 explains why God the Father reveals all things that He is doing to His Son. People, it's so important to know who He is, but to understand it truthfully, not an idle praise. I think one of the most, in the area of movies, one of the most sobering interviews that I got to watch, a biography, was the interview with Victor Mature. I don't know if you know who Victor Mature is. He played in a great number of Bible stories. He played Samson. He played Barabbas. He played just different people or different roles. There was a role he played in the robe. He played a lot of movies in dealing with Jesus Christ. And I don't know, a funny story about Victor Mature. He wanted to join the Los Angeles Country Club to play golf. Well, Los Angeles Country Club had a rule that they would not allow blacks or Jews or actors. So I'll let you know what they thought of that. But they would not allow actors, Jews, or blacks to be members of the Los Angeles Country Club, very elite country club in the world. So he wanted to join, and they said, no, you can't. And he said, why not? I said, because you're an actor. And he is supposed to have said, purported to have said, if you've seen any of my movies, you know that I'm not an actor. But it was an interesting interview with Victor Mature, because I really did. Watching some of the movies, the man has got to bend there. He's got to be a Christian. He was not a Christian. And his statement I just sat there. It didn't lower my opinion of him as an actor watching it, but I just, as a personal thing, oh, Jesus is just a man, and I'm just an actor acting out his part, acting out what happened in his life. People ask me if there's anything spiritual. He said, I don't even know what spiritual is, but, you know, no. It's just, I'm an actor, and I can do that. So, people are just amazing, and that's what happens with a lot of religious people. A lot of religious people will live their life talking about Jesus. They don't even know Him as Savior. The multitude of Christians. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. They don't know the first thing of walking by faith in the Spirit, of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In our study on spiritual love, we're going to move into different things we have not studied before, preparing to be transformed into the image of Christ. We're going to be studying some of these things there. Verse 20, okay, why is Jesus Christ so special? Why did God the Father reveal all things to Him? Now that He's doing, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son. Now, what do we know about love? Love acts. Love is not stagnant. Love is a force that acts, performs. And because He loves the Son, shows Him all things that He Himself, God, is doing. God the Father reveals all things to the Son, one, because He loves the Son, and because the Son is going to do the things that the Father does. All right, let's transport that to you. God the Father, through God the Holy Spirit, will reveal all things to you that He is doing, circumstances of your life, for two reasons. One, because you love Him, which means you're walking by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit's born in that love, and because you are going to do the things that God does in regard to your life. And so that's how the equation works out for you and for me. Now, we come to verse 21. We jump right to what the Father is doing. We come to some of the most important issues of what the Father is doing. And this is powerful as to what Jesus Christ is saying and what is going on as far as what the Father is doing and what Jesus Christ is about and what Jesus Christ is going to do. Okay, verse 21.